Hi everybody, this is Jackie. Welcome to the Let's Talk TEFL podcast. So today I'm going to be doing a solo episode about ESL food and drink activities. So food and drink is a very, very common unit in almost all textbooks, kind of at the beginner to intermediate level, and even some of the more advanced textbooks will have a unit on food from around the world. And sure, you can just follow what's directly in the textbook, and that would be fine. But I do like to spice things up a little bit in the food and drink unit, because students have actually studied it a million times. So if you can do some kind of interesting games and activities, it really can go a long way to making this unit more interesting. All right, so my first activity that I want to mention is Odd One Out. So this is a very quick kind of review activity or a warm-up activity or just like a little kind of fun game to play in your class. So write groups of words on the board. Each group has four words. Three are kind of similar, and then one is the odd one out. So for example, my example is apple, orange, carrot, and banana. So students will likely say that carrot is the odd one out because it's a vegetable, not a fruit. So the key is that I make my students say why it's the odd one out. So they would say carrot, and then they could say not a fruit, or carrot because it's a vegetable. Okay, so the next activity is the mystery box game. So this is really a fun one if you teach kids. So you can get like a big box and then kind of put like a cloth or kind of something like a towel over it, something like that, so the students can't exactly see what's in it. Then inside you could put some kinds of food that aren't easy to break. So things work well like fruits and vegetables. For example, like apples or carrots, some celery, an orange, banana, something like that. You could also put like some pasta, some rice, maybe a can of something, etc. And students have to reach inside, feel around, and then choose something, and then kind of guess what that object is. And maybe they could describe it. They could say it's long, it's thin, it's kind of soft, it's very hard, something like that. All right, the next food and drink activity you could do is called dictogloss. So this is a higher level listening activity. So find or write a passage related to food. It could be a reading passage or something in your textbook. You can find a million different things online. You could even write something. Anyway, the way it works is that put students into pairs, and then they each person will have a pen and a paper, and then read out the passage at a slightly faster than normal pace for the level of students. And students can take notes about what they heard, and they can't write full sentences because it's all happening very quickly, but they can just take notes, and then the students can compare with their partner about what they heard, and they have to try to recreate what they heard. Then read it out again at a faster than normal pace, and students do the same thing. They compare, and then finally students can compare what they have with the original version to see how close they were. Okay, the next activity for the food and drink unit is surveys. So if you ask my students what activity I love the most of all, they would probably say surveys. So make up a little survey with lots of food and drink questions. For example, do you love pizza? And they should be yes, no questions. Do you love pizza? Do you often eat junk food? Do you eat snacks at night while watching TV? Whatever, something like that. And I would have maybe like 10 or 12 questions. And you could either do the questions yourself or get students to write their own questions. And then each student will get a survey paper, and they have a pen or a pencil, and they stand up and have to circulate around the class asking other students the questions. So do you love pizza? If someone says yes, they could write that person's name in that little square. Then they have to ask one follow-up question related to that. So for example, what's your favorite kind of pizza? Oh, my favorite is ham and pineapple. Then they could just write ham and pineapple in the little space beside it. So the goal for the student is to talk to, if there's say 10 questions, talk to 10 different people and find 10 different people that say yes to that question, and then ask each of those people a follow-up question. Okay, so the next idea is to use some authentic materials. So authentic materials are not those created for ESL students, but they're actually just created for people in the English-speaking world. So food and drinks lends itself very, very well to this. if you use a real food menu. So they're super easy to find online. Just think of your favorite restaurant back in Canada or the US or England or wherever you're teaching, and then, or wherever you're from, I mean, and then print it off and bring it to class. And you can do a million different things. Students can talk about what they'd like to order. You can talk about prices. You can talk about ingredients, adjectives, how food is described, what doesn't sound delicious to them, what maybe their family members would order. There are a million things to do with menus. So a little task-based project that I like to do for the food and drink unit is to tell students that my parents are coming to Korea. That's where I was teaching. My parents are coming to Korea and they want to have just like a really nice Korean meal. And I would say, I would kind of give some information about my parents. Like, for example, they don't really love spicy food. They kind of eat a lot of like maybe meat and potatoes and vegetables. They're reasonably healthy eaters. They don't like tons of junk food. They don't really like drink that much. So students have to think of a traditional or kind of a Korean meal that they think my parents would like. And then I get each group, maybe there's groups of like two or three or four students, kind of depending on the size of the class, and they have to describe the meal to my parents, kind of convince them about why this is the meal that they would recommend. So then each group does a little presentation, and then I would give a little prize to the group that I think did the best job and did kind of convince me the most about why my parents would love this meal. Okay, so the next idea I have is just a minute. This works really well because food is one of those things that everybody can talk about. Everybody has a favorite food. Everyone has a favorite restaurant. Everyone has something that they really like to eat or don't like to eat. Everyone has an opinion about junk food or the best fast food restaurant, all those things. So just a minute, it's kind of a Toastmasters style challenge. So students have to talk for 1 minute about a certain topic without stopping. So I would write up kind of a few topics on the board, like just in a random fashion. So favorite food, favorite restaurant, opinion about junk food, are you a healthy eater, whatever, stuff like that. And then I would put students into groups of four and I would number each group, each student in the group would get either one, two, three, or four. So each group of four, all the students would have a number. And then I'd say, okay, number one, this is your topic. And then I would throw a little scrunched up ball at the board and maybe it lands on favorite food. So that number one student in each group has to talk for 1 minute about without stopping about their favorite food. The other three members in the group have to listen carefully and then ask a relevant follow-up question. So when that's finished, we move on to number two, and then I throw the paper ball at the board and it hits another topic, favorite restaurant, and they have to talk for a minute without stopping about their favorite restaurant. And then we kind of continue on with the follow-up questions, and then number three and four go as well. Okay, so the next idea I have is fly swatter. So this is a really nice vocabulary game that kids love, but I've used it with teenagers, I've used it with university students, and it worked equally well. So fly swatter, you need two fly swatters, and then write a bunch of words on the board in a random fashion. So maybe you're talking about fruits and veggies, so write a whole bunch of like banana, carrot, apple, orange, whatever, on the board in a very random fashion. And then divide the class into teams, into two teams. And each team sends up one person from their group, and then each person takes a fly swatter. And then I would give hints about the fruit or vegetables. So I could say for banana, it's long and yellow. And then the first person to slap banana would get a point for their team. And then I could erase that word and then I would write a new fruit or vegetable in there. So continue on until everyone's had a chance to play. And then, then the team is the winner, or the team that has the most points at the end of that is the winner. Along with surveys, role plays are one of my favorite activities that I like to do. So food and drink lends itself very well to a role play involving being at a restaurant. So we could kind of maybe see, you can find like on YouTube or whatever, some dialogues about someone ordering food. So the server could ask, how are you today? Would you like something to drink? Would you like an appetizer? And then someone orders and then they could say anything else for you. And then they come back later and ask about dessert. Do you want a refill of your drink, etc. So students can prepare a little role play about someone ordering food and then do a quick presentation in front of the class. All right, here's another simple food and drink activity. It's would you rather questions. So if you tell students to talk about food for, say, 5 minutes with their partner, At least in a place like Korea or Japan, you might be met with silence. It's just there's not enough information, and students sometimes are not super talkative. And they're a little bit shy and don't really know what is expected of them. So instead, I find if you want students to have a discussion about food, it's better to give them some questions. So would you rather questions work really, really well for food? So would you rather have ham and pineapple pizza or pepperoni and mushroom pizza? Or would you rather eat at a fast food restaurant or eat at home? And then students can have a discussion with a partner and, of course, ask follow-up questions and kind of have a back and forth. But then if they have some would you rather questions, then it's just kind of something to fall back on, and there won't be silence in the class during that discussion. All right, so if you have access to, say, like a little kitchen or a, like mini oven or something like that, or even a hot plate, I love to do cooking in my class. So there's so many good vocabulary words: tablespoons, teaspoons, cups, mix, whisk, etc. So a fun thing you can do is like make cookies, and cookies are actually an excellent choice because it's easy to get everyone involved, and then everyone has a cookie or two to take home and eat with them. You don't need like plates and forks and like all of that. So doing some baking is such an amazing thing to do for the food unit, and students will love it. They will actually be thinking, will often mention that was their favorite activity out of the entire semester. The other thing you can do is especially if you have adults, is to do a potluck. So it's especially fun to do it, say, around like a holiday. So like Thanksgiving or Christmas, and I get students to, we kind of talk in class about like traditional kind of Canadian food or American food around Thanksgiving or around the holidays. And I will often try to find a turkey. So I do the turkey, but then I'd get students to do all the side dishes and we'd have a little potluck. Or you can do it kind of around maybe like St. Patrick's Day, and everyone can kind of do green food, something like that. Or if you could have a little birthday kind of party celebration, something, if there's a bunch of people that have birthdays in a certain month in your class, just whatever it is. But everyone loves food and everyone loves talking about food. And you can kind of challenge students to look up an English recipe and then try to make it. And they can print off the recipe, bring it in, and then kind of talk about how the process was making it. And there are a million things you can do with that. All right, so those are it for my ESL food and drink activities. I hope you enjoyed it. And please let me know if you have any other ideas by leaving a comment. And if you want more information about this podcast, please check eslactivity.org/podcast. And of course, leave us a review wherever you listen to us. Okay, catch you next time. Bye, everybody.